ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
ततो जयमुदीरये
नाश्चाप्रायश्वभद्रेषु
नित्यं भगवत सेवया
भगवति
उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवतिर्नैस्तिकी. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotion Service, The Change in Heart. श्री शुकावाच एवं नितानि गादितम् प्रस्तावान्यद्भवान् मम निर्नम्यन् म्रियमानानम् मनुष्येषु मनुषीणाम्. Translation. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Maharaj Parikshit, as you have inquired from me as to the duty of the intelligent man who is on the threshold of death, so I have answered you. So Sukadeva Goswami actually answered all the questions already. Right? Yes, answered all the questions that Parikshit Maharaj has asked. And In this chapter, the results of worshipping devatas are shown to be insignificant compared to worshipping the Supreme Lord. So he has already explained the terms of the path of the yoga also, Sukadeva Goswami. So he said, one who is intelligent, and he is indirectly indicating, Parikshit Maharaj, you are intelligent. So he uses the word manisinam. That means intelligent man. So he said, if you are intelligent, then you understand who you should worship. Okay. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, the first sentence, almost all of them are less intelligent because they have very little knowledge of spirit soul. It means almost all the people in the world. Like Prabhupada says, 95% are all Naradamas, no? Right? He says like that. So they have very little knowledge of what? Spirit soul. And it's a fact. You talk to most people, they don't know about soul, they don't accept that other living entities have some soul in them. They cannot accept that. And most people think living things are there for them to eat only, you know. That's the level of understanding for them. So Prabhupada says, almost all of them have wrong conception of life, for they identify themselves with gross and subtle material bodies, which they are not in fact. Then later on, a few sentences down, Srila Prabhupada says, but in spite of reading and hearing such scriptures like Vedanta Sutras, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, unless one is in touch with a realized spiritual master, he cannot actually realize the real nature of self, etc. So it's very important. Unless, just like we won't understand, right? First of all, some of you may say, yeah, I can read the book. But how often will you read the Bhagavatam at home? You won't be reading any Bhagavatam, anything like that. In fact, you'll find reasons not to read the books. I have this to do, that to do. And most often than not, they'll blame their children. If it's family people, it's so difficult, my child is saying, my son, this and that. And then when the children are older, they'll say, oh, I have to take them for this and that. And then when the children are married, they will still say, give some reason for not doing it. So when will they do, right? So therefore, this point, unless one is in touch with the realized spiritual master, he cannot actually realize the real nature of the self. It's a very important point. Because remember in your Bhagavad Gita, right? Arjuna also was bewildered. So he said, Krishna, you help me. So he needed a spiritual master to guide him. So same thing here, Srila Prabhupada is making the point. And then of course he quotes, in a sense he quotes, right, the out of hundreds and thousands of men, Bahunam Janmanam Ante, Manusyanam Sahasreshu. So those verses should come to your mind. And so few sentences down, Srila Prabhupada says, out of his causeless mercy, who prepared the Vedic literatures in the incarnation of Vyasadeva, okay, for reading by the intelligent class of men in human society. Okay, so that's the mercy of the Lord. Why? Because if Vyasadeva didn't put this down for us, then how are we going to understand all these things? And so Prabhupada is acknowledging that this is actually the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord in the incarnation of Vyasadeva. So you can see the supreme mercy of the Lord. Okay. So in general we don't have any understanding of our relationship with Krishna. Zero. Only when some spiritually advanced person comes, and then we are able to understand, oh, there is a supreme person. And then we know, oh, okay, that is the realization. Then when we associate more often, then we come to the good conclusion of, yeah, I need a guru, and I take a initiation of a guru. So everyone should take shelter of a spiritual master. But then the problem comes up in the present ISKCON society. We have problem because everyone thinks their spiritual master is the
best.
Is the best, you know. But actually, this mentality we should give up. You know, yes, your Guru Maharaj is best for you, but you cannot compare him and say he's better than another guru and so on. This mentality is so wrong and it's causing problems in many temples. So you all should be careful. Don't get into this trap. And then few lines down, Srila Prabhupada continues, the whole bhakti yoga process is therefore a revival of the Lord lost relation. Okay, so that we can re-establish our connection with Krishna. This revival is possible in the human form of life. We can't do this thing in any other forms of life, only human form. And then, further down towards the end, Prabhupada says, therefore, mani sinam, meaning thoughtful or intelligent, is particularly used here. A mani sinam person, like Maharaj Parikshit, must therefore take to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and fully engage himself in devotional service. Hearing, chanting, all this. Remembering. Most importantly is service, devotional service. Not just take initiation and sit at home. Not acceptable. Unless you are actively pursuing to improve yourself in spiritual life, this is going out to do service. You cannot make advancement. Then you will just remain a kanista adhikari. And even worse than a kanista adhikari. Sometimes. Because if you are not practicing properly, then you go backwards. Okay? So then we'll continue. Text 2 to 7. Oh, in this chapter particularly, Sukadeva Goswami is emphasizing the worship of Krishna, who is the ultimate goal. So from text 1 to 12, he indicates that the ultimate goal is to worship Vishnu or Krishna. Okay, so text 2-7. Brahma Vachasa Kamastu
Brahma Vachasa Kamastu
Yajeta Brahmana Patim
Yajeta Brahmana Patim
Indram Indriya Kamastu
Indram Indriya Kamastu
Prajakama Prajapatin
Prajakama Prajapatim
Devim Mayam Tu Shri Kamas
Devim Mayam Tu Shri Kamas
Tejas Kama Vibhavasum
Tejas Kama Vibhavasum
Vasu Kamo vasun rudran
Vasu kamo vasun rudran
Virya kamota
viryavan Virya kamota viryavan
Annadya kamastu aditim
Annadya kamastu aditim
Swarga kamo dite sutan
Swarga kamo dite sutan
Vishwan Devan Rajya Kama
Vishwan Devan Rajya Kama
Sadhyan Sansadako Visham
Sadhyan Sansadako Visham
Ayuskamo Asvino Devau
Ayuskamo Asvino Devau
Pustikama Ilam Yajet
Pustikama Ilam Yajet
Pratishta Kama Purusho
Pratishta Kama Purusho
Rodasi Loka Matarau
Rodasi Loka
Rupabhikamo Gandharvan
Rupabhikamo Gandharvan
Strikamo Apsara Urvasim
Strikamo Apsara Urvasim
Adipatya Kama Sarvesham
Adipatya Kama Sarvesham
Yajata Parameshtinam
Yajata Parameshtinam
Yaknam Yajaryashaskama
Yaknam Yajaryashaskama
Koshakama Prachetasam Vidyakamastu Girisham
Vidyakamastu Girisham
Dampatyartau Mamsatim
Dampatyartau Mamsatim.
This is all worshipping demigods. One who desires to be absorbed in the impersonal Brahma Jyotir effulgence should worship the master of the Vedas, Lord Brahma or Brihaspati, the learned priest. One who desires powerful sex should worship the heavenly king Indra, and one who desires good progeny should worship the great progenitors called Prajapatis. One who desires good fortune should worship Durga Devi, the superintendent of the material world. One desiring to be very powerful should worship fire, and one who aspires only after money should worship the Vasus. One should worship the Rudra incarnations of Lord Shiva if he wants to be a great hero. One who wants a large stock of grains should worship Aditi. One who desires to attain the heavenly planets should worship the sons of Aditi. One who desires a worldly kingdom should worship Vishvadeva. And one who wants to be popular with the general mass of population should worship the Sadhya demigod. One who desires a long span of life should worship the demigods known as the Asvini Kumaras. And a person desiring a strongly built body should worship the earth. One who desires stability in his post should worship the horizon and the earth combined. One who desires to be beautiful should worship the beautiful residents of the Gandharva planet. And one who desires a good wife should worship the Apsaras and the Urvasi society girls of the heavenly kingdom. One who desires domination over others should worship Lord Brahma, the head of the universe. One who desires tangible fame should worship the personality of Godhead. And one who desires a good bank balance should worship the demigod Varuna. So that one everyone keep note. If one desires to be a greatly learned man, he should worship Lord Shiva. And if one desires a good marital relationship, he should worship the chaste goddess Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva. That's a long list of demigods. Anyway, there's 33 crores or 33 million demigods. Yeah.
So they said worship Durga Devi. However, Durga Devi can be very tricky also.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I know one family who used to worship Durga Devi. They were very opulent, and within a span of 20 years, they went through so much turbulence and everything got wiped out.
Yeah, you can worship the demigods, but the results are temporary. Krishna says that. He says fools worship. So therefore, it's not conducive for a devotee of Lord Krishna to worship demigods.
Why is it temporary?
It's just to be a discussion, like it's due to they don't have a. Of course, it's coming from Krishna empowerment, but we say temporary because from the mundane perspective, we say they may ask questions like, why it is temporary? So then we can say they are representative agents of Krishna, they don't have full potency to give you.
Because it's only for this life.
Yeah, so it's based on the material.
Everything is material. Demigods are materially within the material universe, they are administrators. So whatever the rules, everything is based on that span of lifetime. It's not whatever karma you get reaction is only for that span. To go through that karma, karma will go through many lifetimes, but for that reason, the demigods will give you that, and then when you're dead, then. It's not like you take your $1,000,000 from this life to the next life. It doesn't work. Your karma will take you somewhere else. So it's temporary. So you need to understand. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita. They don't understand that whatever even the demigods get is coming from me. But that means I give you the authority to give some boons, but not a permanent boon. Anything within this material you get is temporary. It's not permanent. Permanency is only available in the spiritual realm, not here. Okay.
How to reconcile these two things? That we receive everything as per our karma, and then we are saying demigods are giving it. So, what is the... Why it is recommended to worship those demigods for those specific things when either the demigods cannot overcome karma. So if it is in the karma, then they will give it. Just like credit card will work if there is balance.
Yeah.
So what is the point in worshipping demigods when it is coming as per karma, it is not on the top of the karma?
Yeah, that's why there is no point in worshipping demigods. The point here, Sukadeva is pointing out, you know, one shouldn't be worshipping all these personalities. He's coming to the fact that materially motivated people, they will worship such personalities. Those who are after karma and material enjoyment, they are going to worship such personalities. So in the next few verses, you'll realize he's pointing out, this is what, so if you want this, you can worship this. But if you want to go back and stop everything, you worship the Supreme Lord. So these are verses, so you know, in one sense you are jumping ahead of the flow of Sukadeva Goswami's statements. But in any case, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, it is said that those who are bereft of all good sense, or those whose intelligence is withdrawn by the deluding energy of Maya, aspire to achieve all sorts of material enjoyment in life by pleasing the various demigods, or by advancing in material civilization under the heading of scientific progress. The real problem of life in the material world is to solve the question of birth, death, old age and disease. See, instead of stopping birth, death, old age and disease, most people are only after how to enjoy this life. And so therefore, they are not so intelligent.
Question is just an extension of religious service. There's demigods, if the worship of the demigods actually cannot give anything beyond the what you are, what you can get by your karma. So there is actually no benefit of that, because Vedas do prescribe the karma kanda section. There has to be some benefit to take them a little bit up. Otherwise, they will just ignore it.
Well, worshipping demigod means you are having an authority.
Yeah.
Right? In our present world, we have no authority. We want to do what we want.
Yeah.
So, in a sense, worshipping demigod is still better.
But in terms of results, is it better? Or are you saying just in terms of results?
Whatever it is, whatever the results is, that it doesn't matter. It's still, if you are in the Vedic culture, it's still better because you're slowly getting to the mode of goodness. But generally those who worship the demigods are not in the mode of goodness. So the results, depending on how you please the demigods, you'll get something. It could be because you are due to get that, and you will get it. But it doesn't mean if you keep quiet it's going to come. No, you're supposed to worship them and then this particular karma will come.
So normally pujaris in India say, look, you are destined for all this according to your horoscope, but there are some...
You have to do something.
Avantara, so you have to open the open the lock. Therefore you
In one sense there is some, they do have that ability to give you some of these things, right? So they are conscious beings, they are not just machines.
Yeah.
So they have the ability to be able to give you, I mean obviously they have their limitations, but they have their ability.
It's like this, you are saying which comes first, you know. it's all connected, so they do the yagna, they are pleased and they get it. But according to, if you study their life or what, they are meant to get it also, you know.
Exactly, so that's...
So you cannot, this is always a problem, because you're always trying to say, is it their karma to get it, or if there's, then you're talking like a karma mimamsa.
Yeah, well, that's what Krishna is saying.
That's what you're saying, you know, that you don't have to do anything, you just do a good job and then you get it, the Lord is forced to give you. No, you're supposed to please these authorities. Then you become eligible to get these things. It is like sacrifice, but this is more karma kanda. This is karma kanda section. This is like for people who are still attracted to such worship. Okay, the Prabhupada is saying this is the human form is so rare, and if you are still after these material things, then it's you're wasting your human form of life. And so we are bewildered and we think, oh, I need to worship that to get this thing and get that. Maybe you'll get those things blessed, but then you only can enjoy it for a short period. That's about it. So,
what's mentioned in the third chapter that you should, the demigods give you, and that's why you, as a...
You have to offer them back.
You have to offer them back, otherwise you're a thief.
Yes.
Is that any different category than what is mentioned here? Because you... Or it's the same, because Krishna is...
It's the same thing. Yeah. It's the same thing. This is karma kanda. But the point is, you are not understanding what Sukadeva Goswami is leading to. You are talking about what the demigods are doing. Whereas the information here is, in a human form, we shouldn't waste time trying to go after material things.
It's nothing to do with devotees. I'm just trying to...
Okay, you're just trying to understand what this...
Well, it's, we're not supposed to think about this at all. I
think I've mentioned this to you. Karma is a very complicated thing. No one understands it. Krishna says it's complicated. But every time you want to try to understand it. You can't. Krishna says even the great sages can't understand how it works. So when you need to know, some great acharyas, they will understand, because Krishna allows them to see why this thing is taking place. But actually this is very complicated. It's very complicated, So like you say, well, this or that, but the point is, he's meant to get it. So he can achieve it through some form of austerity, he has to do. So his form of austerity could be worshipping the demigods.
Speed track.
A speed track. You can say that. You can say that. But otherwise he's not going to get that benefit. Certain things will be given by certain personalities. It's like you are getting some things, some body, some features and so on. All these are sanctioned. you don't know, so therefore you think I'm getting it by myself. But maybe in your previous life you had some tapasya that is giving you this. You know?
And even in demigod worship, in the end, they say Krishna Arpanam, so everything is going to Krishna anyways.
Yeah, that is already understood. The point they want to know is, you know, is it due to karma or is it due to Krishna worship? I mean, demigod worship. But it's connected, you know. These are recommended in the scripture because the desire in the human being is always there. So, ultimately, we are not supposed to worship demigods to get these things. We are supposed to worship the Supreme Lord. Because we cannot control our desires, right? For example, if your parents say you're going to marry so and so, right? Then if you had a desire, you'll say, I want to marry a beautiful girl. I don't want to marry whoever you say. Then the choice is there for you. Either you follow your parents' desire or you want to do some yajna to worship. Who is that? I don't even know.
Urvashi.
See, they all know. So,
so you just said that.
Yeah, but I don't know. So Apsara, Gandharva, play, beautiful. So one of these. So you do that. Yeah. So
the demigod worship is more like a placebo effect.
It is not really placebo. It will. It is an effect. It just enhances the fact that you are going to get married, but it's whether it's an ordinary girl or a apsara.
My family is watching on TV.
It's okay, why are you worried?
They don't know you
asked
the question.
Extending this question to atheists. So, how do we understand this? Because they don't worship any demigods, but whatever is there in their karma, they are going to anyway.
Yeah, because they don't do. Atheists will always be sinful, no? So, they are only accumulating bad reactions for themselves. Yeah. Whereas, in the Vedic culture, we don't want to commit sinful activities, so you go through an authority, so it minimizes all those bad things. That's why we go through the demigods. So anyway, the point here is, you know, we're going to die and then you're going to come back and take birth, and then if you continue doing this kind of activities, it's going to be a cycle. And the point is, we don't want to do this cycle, Srila Prabhupada says. So, that is what we are trying to solve. Not so much of whether if I worship this demigod or that demigod. No? So then later on towards the end of that paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says, but aspirations for material enjoyment by endeavoring persons are condemned. Okay, so that means these are not good. We don't want to aspire for such lofty things as what in this particular verse is. Because if you are an intelligent person, what should you be thinking of?
Long term.
Yeah, how to stop this cycle of birth, death and old age. Not so much of thinking of how I'm going to get this beautiful man or beautiful girl or whatever. So that is what the point here. So then Prabhupada continues, intelligent persons should try to avoid these aspirations. That means even if you're intelligent, you're going to want something, right? For example, if you have a debt, a big debt, you're thinking, oh, I wish I strike lottery. Correct or not? Right? You'll drive by and you see a big mega lottery or something, and you're thinking immediately, I wish I can strike, but then you know you're a devotee. So, Prabhupada's point is, we should not even worry about such things. But rather, we have to think about the permanent solution of going back to Godhead, which means we don't have to worry, this debt and everything will be gone. We don't have to even worry about such things. So that is the point Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in this purport here, in this particular purport, for this topic about worshipping the demigods. Text 8. Yeah.
A little bit relates to, I think, when you were, a couple of days back, you were saying that because we still have some of these aspirations,
yes,
especially go through difficult days. So you said, you can still pray to Krishna.
Which is what we are coming to.
So
we are jumping again. So let's continue, then you will see what I said a few days earlier will make sense again. Yeah. Text 8. Dharmartha Uttama Shlokam.
Dharmartha Uttama Shlokam.
Tantu Tanvam Pitrin Yajet.
Tantu Tanvam Pitrin Yajet.
Rakshakama Punya Janan.
Rakshakama Punya Janan.
Ojaskamo Marudganan.
Ojaskamo Marudganan.
One should worship Lord Vishnu or his devotee for spiritual advancement in knowledge. And for protection of heredity and advancement of a dynasty, one should worship the various demigods. So there's two things here. If you want spiritual thing, you worship the devotees. But you can only worship the devotees if you associate. See, it all comes back to how you're going to relate now. You know, otherwise you're going to have a problem. It is a problem in almost every place I go, you know. It's always this person say that person. I recently, one person came here in Seattle. The person came and was telling me, "Oh, Prabhu, this person I'm associating with senior is telling me bad things about another person or a group of people." Then I said, "That is not good. Then you should tell them not to talk like that." Then this person was saying, "But that person is senior." And I say, if that person is a senior person, shouldn't be saying such bad things about other persons. Then the person was saying, "What can I do, you know, senior?" I said, either you cut that relationship because you are listening to offenses, or you have to tell the person nicely, "I don't want to hear this anymore." Then we continue doing service together. And then the person says, "It's difficult." I said, "Which is more difficult, to commit offense or to go back to Godhead?" What do you want to do? Yeah. So it's over here also. That's why I'm saying, you all have to start giving up all these ego issues and associate nicely, because if you don't set good examples, you are actually giving bad examples for your groups, whoever you're preaching to. You all are teachers and so on, like you were saying, you know, how am I representing, how are they looking up to me? So if you are going to say things that they will remember 5, 10, 20 years later, they say, "You screwed my spiritual life," how are you going to answer? Right? Think about it. Because everything what goes will come around. And it'll bite sometime. Not a joke. Sometimes when it comes back and bites you, it hurts. So it's very important, whatever in spiritual life you want to worship another person so that they can give you blessings. Yeah. That's why relationships are important. So if you get well with one another, how do you think Krishna will feel? He'll be very happy, and then your group will grow dynamically. But if you think, "Oh, I am only this guru's person, I'm only that guru person," then finish. You know? Right? No man is an island. Everyone should cooperate, then it's a family, then you are strong. One stick will break easily. But if all of you combine together, we represent Prabhupada. We are not representing this guru or that guru. We are representing Srila Prabhupada. So think of that when next time you act or say something. It's very important. Because this movement is going to go for 10,000 years and everyone will still be talking about Srila Prabhupada. Not about you or me. We are gone. So don't have this idea. When you preach to someone, think of how you are connecting them to Krishna. That's all you need to do. Don't worry about who, or they have to be my guru, or then because you preach to them, they have to be under you. All this mother hen syndrome and all this are nonsense.
The second one is actually under me is the actual thing.
Yeah, under me. This is bad. This is bad. You should never think, because they are actually sent by Krishna. So you have no jurisdiction. You just guide them. Okay, read this book, you know, Prabhupada's book, listen and so on. But don't take this thing, "Oh, they are mine," and then you like, "Oh, nobody should talk to them, lock them in your room," and things like that. You're laughing, but I'm exaggerating a bit, but the point is that is the mentality. And we don't want to cultivate such mentality, no. If you preach openly and affectionately, then you find more people attracted. But if you start preaching this way, or you know, our guru is the next acharya, you know, then you're going to have problems. Yeah, it's offensive mentality, so people cannot get together well. Okay, so let's get to the next. This is also more worshipping different demigods. So we'll go on to text 9, which also has more, a bit more. Raja kamo manum devan.
Raja kamo manum devan.
Niritim tu abicharan yajet.
Niritim tu abicharan yajet.
Kamo kamo yajet somam.
Kamo kamo yajet somam.
Akama purusham param.
Akama purusham param.
One who desires domination over a kingdom or an empire should worship the manus. One who desires victory over an enemy should worship the demons. And one who desires sense gratification should worship the moon. But one who desires nothing of material enjoyment should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's slowly coming to what we should be doing. Because you may question, why an enemy we should worship demons? Because demons are very
strong.
Not just strong, they are very, they are into it, you know, they want to really fight for the thing, you know, right? You can see how they'll fight for all kinds of things. So if you desire victory, you worship them. Because they are very technologically, they are very amazing. They'll come with all kinds of...
Saying savvy.
Savvy, okay. Tech savvy, yeah. Right, you know, they come up with all atomic bombs, this, that. So they are really all out to win, you know. That's why they are mentioned there, in case you're wondering. And so in Prabhupada mentions, right, in one, he says, in one of the purports, I believe, in during the Second World War, one person in Calcutta was worshipping Hitler, because they won victory. But then, of course, you know, his demon got killed.
Now they worship Rajinikanth.
Now they're worshipping Rajinikanth. I think when I was traveling recently, I saw there was a big thing. That was he acted in one robot movie or something. It was big in Singapore or somewhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
They were like big deal, you know. He's what, 70-year-old man? Huh?
60.
Huh? 60. 60. Yes. So what is this? Anyway, he got killed. So the purport is, Srila Prabhupada talks about, for a liberated person, all the enjoyments listed above are considered to be absolutely useless. So what is it telling you when you read that sentence?
I'm not
liberated. Huh?
I'm not liberated.
No, but I say, what does it tell you?
Demigod worship is not recommended.
It's not recommended, yeah. Demigod worship is not recommended. What else do you understand from that?
They're not looking for.
Yeah, we should not be looking for such things. Yeah. This is not something we should be going after, because it is temporary and therefore it's useless. Bear in mind, you know, anything that's temporary, it's actually useless. But because we are conditioned, we go after all this. Our mind is tricky, so tricky. And the reason why it's so tricky is because it is for many, many lifetimes we have been conditioning it to only go after useless things. So now as devotees, you understand your intelligence is awakened, right? But still not so strong, the intelligence. So you are in a juxtaposition where this or that, you know, I know this is good, but then no, yes and no, like that. Yeah, it seems funny, but that's what we are doing. We accept this, but then we still go and do nonsense like that. Yeah, we have to stop that. No? Prabhupada saying, liberated person immediately knows this is useless. So we are practicing and we are thinking we are liberated. And then we still go after these useless things. It may seem like I'm playing words, but actually that's how we are thinking. We all think like that, and then we need to stop thinking like that. Because why else would Prabhupada write all these things? He's writing so that every time we read the purport, some of the things are repeated so often. Why? Because we are so conditioned, and we are told one time we don't listen, two times we don't listen, sometimes three times also is not enough. Right? We keep doing the same foolish thing. Right? How many of you have done this foolish things over and over again in Krishna consciousness? Yeah, you see, practically everyone. So then what does it speak about ourselves, right? Then we have to guide new people. Just see how fallen we are. So you understand we are very fallen. So if you understand and appreciate that you are fallen, then you will make advancement. But if you cannot see that, then it's a trap. Then maya paritta gyan. Honestly, we will allow maya to cheat us, and we cheat others in the name of Krishna consciousness. We don't want to do that. We don't want to deny devotees or other people who are actually seeking, because you are taking the role. Remember, every time you preach, you're taking the role of representing the Supreme Lord. And if you don't deal with the persons correctly, Krishna will be very angry with us. And then when you see Krishna, Krishna won't look at you. How you feel, right? Just like your guru comes, and then because you have done something wrong, and you know, and guru knows you have done wrong, and then you come in front of guru will just don't want to look at you. How you feel? Huh? How you feel, Shyamala? You don't? Yeah, you feel like jumping out or getting out of this world. Very miserable. So therefore, why would you want to do such things? So we need to become also humble. You know, when you become humble, then you can actually pray properly and then chant properly. And these problems will come because we don't chant properly. Inattentive chanting. So how many of you tried harder today? I ask this every day. Yeah. Stop chant. Doesn't matter. Maybe you are hitting for 2 hours to chant, but maybe you should reconsider carefully. You may have to spend extra half an hour, maybe an hour, to chant better in the beginning, because the mind is such a rascal. It is important. You have to do that. Yeah, you have to do. But how many of you also find that you can actually chant better also this few days? Yes, little bit you can see, right? Why? Can anyone? Yeah, because you have been listening to Bhagavatam and reading the Bhagavatam.
I find distractions are less, but chanting doesn't necessarily.
No, but you can see that you can hear better, actually. It must be. It must have effect, you know. It's the Bhagavatam.
Also, you are saying every day.
Yeah, I'm also saying it because I want you all to change the way you all think also. You have to think how Prabhupada. We have to think the way Prabhupada is thinking. That's what the purport is for. So we can align our thinking with Prabhupada. You know, Prabhupada is training us. Actually, Prabhupada is training us. So we are trained to think like him. And that will help us. Okay? Then in a few lines down, Prabhupada said, one should therefore not desire any sort of material enjoyment, being sensible enough to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this applies to us also. It's going to be tough because there may be situations where you want some material things. That will be answered in the next verse. But we should be sensible enough not to always go to the Lord to ask for something. Sometimes we can do it ourselves also, fix something, right? Everything you ask the Supreme Lord, you know, sometimes, oh, I want to connect everything with Krishna. So every little thing, like children, right, when they want to go to the bathroom, they'll come running to mother, mother, I want to go to the bathroom, they'll say. Then your mother says, yeah, it's there, go, why are you telling me, right? It's like that. So then we also sometimes so foolish, we'll think, oh, I have to tell Krishna everything, right? Oh Lord, today can I eat this prasad after offering to you?
Can I brush my teeth?
And then it becomes foolish. So that's why I say sometimes you don't pray to the Lord for those things, because it's common sense. So Lord's not going to come and say, yeah, okay, and then so you don't disturb the Lord in that way also. Connecting means all these services you're doing for His pleasure. You're working for His pleasure. Ultimately, it should be like that. Why you're sleeping, why you're working, why you're cooking, why all these whys, the last word should be Krishna. Yeah. Why are you raising your children in a certain way? Why are you sending to them to the college? Why? Because you want to make sure they are connected to Krishna. So that must be there. Otherwise, problem. So a few more verses down. Sentences down. Srila Prabhupada says, and this worshipping process is called devotional service. Pure devotional service means service to the Lord without any tinge of material desires, including desire for fruitive activity and empiric speculation. That's a definition. Right? What is the verse? Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavrutam anukulena krishna shilanam bhakti uttam. That is the topmost. So when you are on the altar and you are not thinking of anything, but you're thinking of how I can dress the deity properly, please the Vaishnavas, then you're doing pure devotional service. But you're not pure yet. But you're doing because you are under the guidance of the spiritual master, particularly the Acharya, so we are doing under them. So therefore you are on the path of pure devotion. You are a pure devotee at that moment. Only that moment. For fulfillment of material desires, one may worship the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada is giving us some understanding that sometimes we may have material. So one may worship, but the result of such worship is different. Okay, listen what he says, as will be explained in the next verse. Generally, he says, the Lord does not fulfill anyone's material desires for sense enjoyment, but he awards such benedictions to worshippers of the Lord, for they ultimately come to the point of not desiring material enjoyment. That means he will purify us first, just like Dhruva Maharaj. Right? Amazing example. He wanted a big kingdom more than the Brahma, and then when he finally saw, he said, I was searching for glass stones. I was looking for, all this. I got a diamond, I don't deserve it. What I was actually going after in comparison with you is like glass pieces. So we learn from that, even Dhruva Maharaj says that such things are not really good for us. We shouldn't be doing that. And he felt very bad. And he said, I don't want anything. But the Lord said, it's okay, since you asked, you can enjoy for 35,000 years. So don't think, I also want to enjoy 35,000. It may not happen for us. The Lord may punish us for 35,000 years.
Most likely.
And then we realize, okay, we don't want that. Then the Lord say, now you enjoy. Then you don't want. Sometimes also, right, in the case of... it's forming... Vairagya, this is, because you want something, but then you want to renounce it at the same time, you can't. But then when you fully knowledge, cultivate the proper knowledge, then you know, I don't need this anymore, right? So just like as you make advancement, you will cut down on your sleep, you'll cut down on eating and all those things, So even when somebody cooks amazing, what's something you all like? Spring rolls. So Prabhu says amazing spring rolls in front of him, and then he will say, no, it's okay, I don't want to eat like that. Because not because he is artificially renouncing, because he doesn't want it anymore.
Serve others.
You can say, or cut it in few more pieces, I want to serve others. Like that, So... So it's interesting that if you worship the Lord, He is going to grant you, but then He is going to first charge you
like credit cards, you know, company. They'll charge you for using him. So then the famous verse, text 10. You should all memorize this verse, right? All memorized already?
Mm.
Okay, good. Akama sarva kamova.
Akama sarva kamova.
Moksha kama udaradi.
Moksha kama udaradi.
Tibrena bhakti yogena.
Tibrena bhakti yogena.
Yajata purusham param.
Yajata purusham param.
Translation: a person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of material desire, without any material desire, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead. So amazing verse here. So in the Srila Prabhupada talks about how, you know, you can worship the Lord. He is the only one who can avoid so many benedictions and so on. But at the same time, in the whatever desires we have, whether we desire liberation or this, the Lord will give. So he comes to this point in the second paragraph. He talks about what Srila Jiva Goswami says. He says Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this desirelessness, which is akama, as Bhajaniya Parama Purusha Shuka Matra Swa Shukatvam in his Sandarbha. This means that one should feel happy only by experiencing the happiness of the Supreme Lord. This intuition of the living being is sometimes manifested even during the conditioned stage of a living being in the material world. And such intuition is expressed in the manner of altruism, philanthropy, socialism, communism, etc., by the undeveloped minds of less intelligent persons. In the mundane field, such an outlook of doing good to others in the form of society, community, family, country or humanity is a partial manifestation of the same original feeling in which a pure living entity feels happiness by the happiness of the Supreme Lord. So instead of serving the Lord and feeling that happiness, what we do is we do all these other activities, right? It's like what Bill Gates is doing now, right? Mm-hmm. He was a big company, he thought he was happy, but then he wasn't happy, so he went to philanthropy, and he's feeling a little bit more happy. But not complete happiness, because it's again temporary. It'll go off. Once you die, it's gone, you know. Okay, such superb feelings are exhibited by the real feeling. Such superb feelings are exhibited by the damsels of Brajabhumi for the happiness of the Lord. So this is the difference. We want to feel happy, and so we do so many things, but actually we cannot be happy. Really, we can't be happy, you know. We have a sense of happiness when we do certain things, you know. But remember the other day I was mentioning how when you are in the temple, when you sometimes you feel so happy or you feel some euphoria, that's because you're experiencing that ecstasy to some extent, not completely, but you're experiencing it. Because you've done some service, you were in the kirtan, and you enjoyed the revelation of the philosophy in your mind, you know, it explodes with intelligence and all that. So you come back fully happy, you know. So that feeling is there. But this is really exhibited by the gopis, completely.
So question, Prabhuji. I'm not sure if this is correct or not, but the dancing in kirtan is supposed to be in Santa Bhava, but whereas practical service is in Dasya Bhava. So therefore practical service is higher than...
But who said that is in Santa Bhava?
I thought I heard somewhere, but I'm not sure.
No. In Nectar of Devotion, there is a passage where Chandrabhaga? Not Chandravali. There's a lady by the name but Chandra something, I can't remember.
Right, I remember there is a lady.
Yeah, so she dances the whole night.
Right, exactly.
And then she goes back to Godhead. So that's not Chandrabhaga. It's directly, you know. That service, Prabhupada says, she served the Lord completely for the Lord's satisfaction. So that's not Chandrabhava. Not that I've heard it, Shanti Bhava.
Is it everything that we do actually in Dasya Bhava?
It is. Service is in Dasya. Yeah. Anyway, we are talking about the gopis. The gopis love the Lord without any return. That means they are not expecting
anything.
They don't want anything from Krishna. And the story that is always explained is?
Krishna says, I cannot repay you.
Yes, Krishna says, I cannot repay you. So what does he say you should do?
I will only give you more service.
You feel the reciprocation by engaging in service.
By engaging in service.
Yeah.
Be happy in your own
devotion. Yes, be happy in your own devotion. Yeah. And this is a perfect exhibition of the Akama spirit. Yeah.
So when I do service, and I feel
ecstasy.
No, I feel happy because I feel that I'm not thinking of Krishna's pleasure for even like I'm thinking, okay, I followed the teachings.
Yeah, that's beginning stage. Yeah, you're following rules. You're doing service. You're thinking I've done it, and so you're thinking pride or happiness in the fact that you followed. That is in the beginning stage. Just like you get up every morning to go to the temple, in the beginning you don't like it so much, but you do it anyway and you feel, yes, at least I followed my guru's statement. But after a while you want to get up. Okay, so same way, your service should come to the point after a while that you want to serve the Lord. And that way you'll think, oh, today I'll buy extra flowers. On your own, you'll buy flowers, you decorate nicely, like that. That's spontaneous. That spontaneity should arise through sadhana bhakti. It must arise. Otherwise, you will... Anyway, it must arise. You know, we've gone through that already. Yeah. Okay? But it's good to feel happy at least that I did my service. Yeah. But if you did the service and say, man, every week I have to do this, then it's a problem. You know? That mood should be cleansed, purified. You are in front of the Lord, you should get more and more purified. But if you don't, then what is the problem? Huh?
Not practicing properly.
No, it's offenses. There is some offense somewhere, if you feel that way. Offenses are what will inhibit you from wanting to do further service. Yeah.
Yeah, this experience I have. I feel sometimes I don't want to do certain service. If there's inhibition, there are certainly obstructions, which is unknown obstructions will come.
Yeah, in your
I
mind,
know, yeah.
Something heavy, hard.
Obstruction today or something.
Yeah, so you understand you did something or you hurt somebody, and then it'll be your heart will be heavy.
No, not that way, but that is also that is different thing. But if I don't want to do certain service,
if you don't want to do, that's an obstruction. Also.
Yeah,
yes.
Then obstructions will come. And
yes. That's the other point also is good. And I was thinking of another thing. Sometimes you don't want to do service, so then things will come so that you don't have to do the service. And you are thinking, oh, this is so good, but actually Krishna is saying, okay, get out.
Last week only it happened. I was like very tired, about 9:30, 9:45.
Yeah.
For service.
Yeah.
Cleaning. And the moment I went there, some other devotee already took care of it.
Yeah, because you were doing it.
No.
And then?
I was not thinking of doing it, so...
Krishna gave it
yeah,
to
see,
somebody.
Yeah.
So I felt really bad after that, I should have not thought that.
I have some experience also, where when I used to do, I'm still doing, I was doing some service, then one time I got very sick. Then when you're sick, you don't want to do things. So I remember you call other devotees to cover your service. So the first time it was very difficult asking people, you know. Then I was thinking, you know, I'm getting more sick calling people. So I thought, better I go and do. It's only less time and stress than calling all these people. So I did that. After doing the service, my fever, everything went away. So I had this experience several times. I never ask anymore. I'll just go and do and I'll feel better.
I had the similar kind of thing. I had pain on my left shoulder.
Carrying things, yeah.
1,000 pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was thinking, why I should not do this service today. So immediately Namrata Prabhu was coming and I told him I have pain here. He said, you do the service, your pain will go away. And literally next day the pain was gone.
Right.
And I did that actually. I said, let me follow his instructions, you know, because Krishna sends the instructions like that.
Yeah, but also you have to be careful. Yeah, certain things you don't overdo it. You know, next time you'll get some help and do it. You want to do it, but make sure you get a help, you know, because, you know, even with help, I had slipped this, so I'm saying we should be careful, yeah. So, Krishna don't want you to hurt yourself so you can't do more service for him, yeah. So
sometimes we come to do a service and then somebody else has already done it. What does it mean? Is it like Krishna kicked us out or just a combination of circumstances?
No, sometimes, you may be busy and then you are rushing to do, you may be late, and then Krishna knows that you will do anyway, so he makes your life easy sometimes. Then you will say, well, Krishna, you know, I'm sorry I couldn't do the service, you know, someone else is so fortunate like that, you know.
Yeah, sometimes like in the Sunday evening kitchen,
right.
Clean one section,
mm.
And sometimes three or four people will come. They are
right.
Competing with each other.
Yeah, right. See, that mood is good if you compete to do some things like that. Yeah. All right. Let's continue. So it's akama spirit, the gopi spirit. Kama spirit, or the desire for one's own satisfaction, is fully exhibited in the material world, whereas the spirit of akama is fully exhibited in the spiritual world. So that's the difference. Spiritual world means we are only trying to please Krishna. In the material world, we are only trying to please ourselves. You know, I'm the man, you know, the number one, right? That is how they talk in this country. Okay, so then, okay, then later on in a few lines down, Prabhupada writes, influenced by the karma spirit, Arjuna declined to fight in the Kurukshetra battlefield because he wanted to save his relatives for his own satisfaction. Okay? So therefore he was bewildered, unhappy and so on. And then Prabhupada continues, but being a pure devotee, he agreed to fight on the instruction of the Lord, because he came to his senses and realized that satisfaction of the Lord at the cost of his own satisfaction was his prime duty. Thus he became akama, that is the perfect stage of a perfect living being. So you can see, you may have some desires and you may not be in line with Krishna, but you have to nirbandha Krishna sambandha. So you can change it to please Krishna. That's the point here. You know, even Arjuna, he's saying, had such difficulties. But then he then changed his consciousness. So the same way, we may feel sometimes, oh, I don't want to do this, it's too much. And as you said, so many experiences. Now you know, oh, I should do it. Just do it and then things will be okay, you know. And then when you do like that, you will wait. After your service, you will think, okay, I hope next week comes quickly, so I can do this service immediately. That should be the evolution of our consciousness. Rather than, oh, I wish I can go on a holiday or somewhere so I don't have to do this service. Then that's not good. So these are things you need to think about clearly, because, you know, you're not a new bhakta or whatever. You have now been practicing for a few years, you know, 4 or 5 years or 6 years or 10 years. Whatever. Now you need to help other people. So unless you show good examples, they're not going to help. Pretty soon the temple will be gone, you know. You know. So you should understand, this is not our
One new devotee made a comment and that made me change my own behavior.
Mm.
He said, yeah, you should get initiated quickly, then you don't have to do service.
There you go.
And then when I looked in the kitchen, everybody was new.
Yeah.
There were no initiated devotees.
No initiated.
And nowadays, Madhava Varana Prabhu is there every Sunday.
Right.
And I also started going there.
Yeah.
After that incident.
Okay, there you go. That's what my point is. That's what Krishna Prabhupada is trying to say. Don't think that once you're initiated, you can sit at home. Oh, I'm going back to Godhead. No, yeah, with the kick, Krishna will kick you all the way to Godhead. Yeah. But go in, do. That's why we get initiated. Actually, this comment has been made in many temples. The congregation will say, why the devotees don't do anything? Once they get initiated, only don't have to do. Exactly. That's wrong. That means we are sending wrong
signals
to them.
Also, the reverse will also happen.
Reverse happens?
Some devotees, some people say that we don't want to get initiated because we don't get treated properly.
That may be true in the past, but
not
you know,
here, I'm saying, in some places.
Well, you know, when you go through difficulties, as senior devotees, you have to accept more austerities, more anxieties for the benefit of the congregation and so on. Otherwise, then you don't call yourself senior devotees. You know. And don't give instructions to new people also. Just keep quiet and chant. If you don't want to take this, otherwise you're not a leader. If you're a leader, you have to have certain qualities that they will respect you. You know. You know, like Harivilas Prabhu, he'll still go and wash toilet and so on. You know, that means what? He sees it as a labor of love for the Lord.
He preaches very down to earth. By example, as soon as Sunday, sometime Bhagavatam class is done, you'll see classrooms are clean and neat because Sunday is the one people come in the morning and they.
Yeah, so
that's
the point. Yeah.
Keep the always, and even you see devotees, he will not tell to devotees. He kept quiet and he will start himself. Then
the point is, you all are old enough. Why should he tell you do this, do that? You should see something is unclean, you should do it. Automatically, why should someone tell you? Right? If it's in your home, if something wrong, you'll fix it, right? Yeah, so the same thing. Temple is your real home. So that's very important, okay? And then further on, Prabhupada talks about Udaradi means broader outlook. Then so a few lines down, Srila Prabhupada says, therefore, a person with a broader outlook can see that the ultimate authority is the Lord, even for material benefits. Under the circumstances, one with a broader outlook, even with a desire for material enjoyment or for liberation, should take to the worship of the Lord directly. Why? Because it's for our benefit. If it's not good for us, then the Lord will not give us that. Whereas if it's not good for us and you worship a demigod, then you will get it. That's the difference. The Lord cares for our welfare because we will misuse our freedom and do all kinds of nonsense.
So, Prabhuji, maybe you covered this before, but sages like Vishwamitra who have had sufficient knowledge from the Vedas, maybe not the devotional section of the Vedas, still fall trapped to either fighting with the Vasishtha Muni or...
In the beginning he was like that.
But eventually he...
Eventually he wasn't like that. He became a Ram Bhakta, you know. Yeah, he served the Lord and he is a liberated person now. In the beginning, yes. At the end, he made a pact with Vasishtha and they are best of friends. Yeah. So you may have heard some stories, and,
right.
Yeah, but no, he changed. He became a pure devotee. Yeah. But he has his anger still to get the Kshatriyas in line. But otherwise, no. Yeah. Okay, then, particularly in this section, Sukadeva Goswami has recommended renunciation from the beginning. And then he talked about renunciation and from chapter 1, renunciation, the impersonal worship, and then to the yoga of the super soul. And then now he's talking about no particularly Karmakanda section. He talked about that to satisfy our material desires. Then he concludes here that only Krishna worship should be worshipped. This is what he's trying to say. That's his conclusion. The ultimate goal of all karma, jnana and yoga is Krishna. Because you still must do some bhakti to get results in either karma, jnana or yoga. It is not independent. Those are connected to bhakti. But bhakti is independent of karma, jnana and yoga, and it doesn't require them for success. So that is what you should understand in these sections. Okay? Taxi 11. Etavanyeva yajatam
Etavanyeva yajatam
Iha nishre yashodaya
Iha nishre yashodaya
Bhagavati achalo bhavo
Bhagavati achalo bhavo
Yad bhagavata sangata
Yad bhagavata sangata.
All the different kinds of worshippers of multi demigods can attain the highest perfectional benediction, which is spontaneous attraction, unflinchingly fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by the association of the pure devotee of the Lord. What happened? Anyway, but they all are young, you will cry, you know. Life is not easy. Okay, so Prabhupada in the purport, you know, explains how the living entity is trying to lord over the material nature, and then how he makes a lot of different plans. So then he says, all plans for material enjoyment, either by worship of different demigods, as described in the previous verses of this chapter, or by modernized advancement of scientific knowledge without the help of God or demigod, are illusory only. For despite all such plans for happiness, the conditioned living being within the compass of material creation can never solve the problems of life, namely birth, death, old age and disease. So we find that they cannot solve this. Every year they say they've made advancement in this and that, right? Every few years. And many years ago they said, oh, we have eradicated smallpox. And then a few years ago, it came back, smallpox.
And so it's coming back in America.
And now it's coming back in America. So, you know, so Prabhupada is very true here. Can never solve the problems of life. It's meant to give us suffering. This world, this is for Kunta. You're meant to suffer here. Because it's not our permanent place. Yeah, that's why. And it's a thankless task for Durga, you know, but she is doing it as a service. So she's kicking us so that we wake up and then do the right things. Otherwise we will, you know, we will, if the material nature is not so harsh, we will be very happy here. We will make it our home, permanent home. So that's what it is. So Prabhupada in the next paragraph, and since it's all about plan making, making more plans, right? He says, actually human life is meant for making a solution to the problems of life. One can never solve such problems by satisfying the different demigods by different modes of worship or by so-called scientific advancement in knowledge without the help of God or the demigods. Not possible. So again, try to understand, it's not possible. Even if you worship so many demigods to worship, right? How you can do that? It's confusing also sometimes.
It's a time issue also.
Time issue also, you will be dead by the time you finish. But not only that, some of these yagyas to please them is very costly. We don't have the money. And you pronounce the wrong mantra.
Finished.
Exactly. And particularly in Kali Yuga, we can't even chant properly. So no doubt the Vedas will say worship this, worship that, and that's for people who are grossly materialistic, and they need to rise to come to a mode of goodness. So that's what the Vedas is. But for us, we understand all this now, Having practiced for a few years, we should know this. So now we should need, it's time to change that consciousness to a more understanding that I have to please Krishna more seriously. I take care of your children, take care of your job and so on. You can aspire for some things, but you cannot really go really, like a bull and go after certain material things wildly. It has to be given up. Such desire must be given up. Because, as Prabhupada says, it is all illusory. And we are not going to be happy. Even though the demigods are real, they are not imaginary, even though they are doing all this, they may give us so many things, but that's not the problem solving. In fact, what we are doing, we are complicating our problems. We are making it more difficult, from one life to the next life, and next life, and onwards and onwards. They can do so many things, the scientists. And now, like I said the other day, I was reading, the scientists have, now they're making some rocket ship to go to Mars, to colonize Mars. It's a one-way trip. Yeah. Both ways one way. They're saying you go there and leave, you never come back. And so a lot of people are signing up for it.
SpaceX is the name of the company.
SpaceX.
And the PayPal is a company, he's a founder. He doesn't know what to do with money, so he wants to do that.
It's a service. Yeah. So he's getting rid of people, go out there and die. So anyway, this is the problem. You can see what is happening. You do all these things, it's useless. So anyway, in the last paragraph of this, there's a lot of... Prabhupada discusses a lot about the demigod worship and how difficult it is, even if you go there and so on. So in the last paragraph, let me finish this. In the second line from the top, he says, only by the grace of divine personalities, the pure devotees of the Lord, can one achieve pure devotion, which is the highest perfection of human life. Only a pure devotee of the Lord can show one the right way of progressive life. So only a devotee, a pure devotee. So if you follow Srila Prabhupada nicely, then we are following in the footsteps of a pure devotee. Then we can guide people. But if you try to think, oh, it's okay, you can do this nonsense, and then we do a little bit, then we balance ourselves. It doesn't work like that. Okay? Yeah, you were going to say?
You were saying that we should give up these desires, if you were saying
material desires. Things that you don't really need, unnecessary desires. Yeah.
Sometimes there can be a confusion between that I'm not doing it, whether it's my work or the things that I'm trying to be. We have to be sincere in what we do, because we're being paid for work.
Oh, of course. Some other things. Of course.
And
you know.
Sometimes there can be a.
No, it's like, it's like Arjuna, when he fought in the battlefield, he did his Kshatriya duties perfectly.
Yeah.
So the same way, when you're working outside, you do your job very well. Not that when you're going to type a code, you say Krishna, then you type Krishna, not like that. You're doing all this so that in the end your mind is peaceful, so that you can go home and do some nice service to your family, to the temple, and like that, So you're doing so that you can have a decent living space, things like that. Yeah. So that kind of thinking should be there.
It also progressively reduces the...
As you get older, like when you're born, you don't have the intelligence, so your spiritual life is like that, when you're born baby, and then your material desires are like... going to come up so much. So as you grow older and older, this thing must come down. Finally gone. Right? But most of the time we don't want it. It's a hard fight. So that consciousness you should start, as you get older, you're like, okay, I've achieved so much. I don't need more, That satisfaction should come in. But how does it come? What's the verse? Vasudeva Bhagavate Bhakti Yoga Prayojate. Jnanam jahar haitukam. So vairagya will come, knowledge will come. Okay, I have done enough of this, now I'll continue. Because your service portion is good. So that will give you enough impetus to reduce your material lifestyle. But it doesn't mean you reject material things. No, you use it in the service of Krishna. But that will develop as you progress nicely in your Krishna consciousness. Chanting nicely, relating nicely, associating nicely, reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, doing Archana Seva, you know, all that must be there. And preaching. Then you will see that your heart will open, you know. But it doesn't mean, I have to do work and get a promotion, and then so I stop doing service to Krishna for 1 year, then I'll come back. Like, it doesn't work. In fact, I think I heard some story like a few years back. There was one devotee in Pune or somewhere where he was a very intelligent boy, so expert. So he got the first class, and then he told the devotees, you know, I'll finish the exam. Once I'm done, I'm going to come and join the temple like that. But then he passed the exam, he got some award and everything in the papers, everything. But he never could come back because he died in a road accident like that. So we need to temper our... You know, you can't just say, no, Krishna can, you know,
wait.
Can wait and then, no, Krishna cannot wait because our lives are precarious. Okay, so how do you relate to Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha? So that, how am I going to make sure that Krishna is in my life? It's not that you sit in your office and just say, Krishna, Krishna, like, and then people think you're crazy and you lose your job. But rather, you think, I'll work very well, I'll show these guys, as a Krishna devotee, I'm the best. You understand? So therefore, you're representing Krishna that way. Now, after you finish, the moment you sit in your car and go, then you can, don't worry about that. Now you think, okay, Krishna, I'm free for you now. Like that. The mood should be there, you should be happy to go back and sit. But not go into so much extreme where you are in the workplace, you cannot, oh, I have to be a devotee, I want to be full-time, and then, like that. And then when I've seen people who react the extreme, then when they come full-time, they're nothing, they don't know what to do. I have seen that, and it's a problem. And when you try to engage them in this, oh, I don't know whether I want to do this, don't. Then after 6 months, boom, disappear. So we have to be careful. text 12. Jnanam yada pratinivritta gunor michakram.
Jnanam yada pratinivritta gunor michakram.
Atma prasada utayatra guneshva sangha.
Atma prasada utayatra guneshva sangha.
Kaivalya sammata patastu vata bhakti yoga.
Kaivalya sammata patastu vata bhakti yoga.
Ko nirvrito harikata suratim na kuryat.
Ko nirvrito harikata suratim na kuryat.
Translation: transcendental knowledge in relation with the Supreme Lord Hari is knowledge resulting in the complete suspension of the waves and whirlpools of the material modes. Such knowledge is self-satisfying due to its being free from material attachment, and being transcendental, it is approved by authorities. Who could fail to be attracted? So very nicely Sukadeva Goswami is saying, who could fail to be attracted? Because it's, you know, you've already read about the Atma Ram verse, right? So, hearing about Krishna is attractive to anybody. So again, he is saying it in a different way. Yeah? The knowledge about Krishna is so attractive. So how can anyone...
Atma Ram verse refers to him.
Huh? Shukdeva
Goswami.
Yeah?
It's about him. Atma Ram verse is about him.
Yeah, but then the point is, you know, who can... He's saying he himself was attractive, indirectly. You know, who could fail to be attracted? So, Prabhupada writes in the paragraph, according to Bhagavad Gita 10.9, the characteristics of pure devotees are wonderful. The complete functional activities of a pure devotee, here Prabhupada is talking about pure devotees, how they are, how they act, are always engaged in the service of the Lord. Okay. Now we are not on that level. So how do we follow in their footsteps? By the temple program, sadhana bhakti. This is what we are supposed to do. Volunteering for services and making sure we are doing those things. So that's what Prabhupada wants us to, you know, understand. And thus pure devotees exchange feelings of ecstasy between themselves and relish transcendental bliss. Because they are always engaged in the Lord's service, 24/7. We are not like that. So when you do service willingly, you will feel some pleasure. Has to feel some pleasure. Otherwise you won't want to go. In the beginning you go because you have... Why do you do it in the beginning? Because you have some attraction and also because you want to please your authorities or spiritual master. That's the only reason you go. You're like, it's true, right? You're doing it because, oh, my Guru Maharaj won't like it if I do. But what about all the other people? They may also not like if you don't go. So in the beginning you think like that. Then later on you think, oh, the devotees expect me. Then finally you'll say, Krishna needs me. So you have to come to that thing. And those feelings will bring you this ecstasy, you know. Oh, I miss Krishna. Feelings of separation will come in. Yeah? This transcendental bliss is experienced even in the stage of devotional practice, sadhana avastha. If properly undertaken under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. So you'll feel this also even now. That's what Prabhupada is saying. But it's not, as I said, continuous. Yeah. It's a spurt suddenly, like in kirtan, you feel, wow, this is so nice. And you're wondering what happened. But because everyone is having good relationship, everyone don't have any bad thoughts, everyone is favorable. They're all doing it for a pleasure. So when you chant and dance because you want to please the deities, then the potency of that kirtan is very powerful. So, but when you chant thinking, oh, I'm so good singer, then there's no potency. Yeah, it's true. So, sadhana avastha, if properly undertaken under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. So, you should follow your sadhana very strictly. And that's why your guru gives you the mantras, the Gayatri mantras, the Harinam, Diksha, and then he says, please work under the authority. That will make me happy. That's all. So, work nicely. Associate properly. And in the mature stage, the developed transcendental feeling culminates in realization of the particular relationship with the Lord by which a living entity is originally constituted, up to the relationship of conjugal love with the Lord, which is estimated to be the highest transcendental bliss. Okay? So you'll feel as you progress, you'll feel what your original position or swarup is. Okay, then, thus bhakti yoga being the only means of God realization is called kaivalya. So kaivalya means only means. This is the only way. This is how it should be done. This is the solution. This is the only way. So that's what kaivalya is. So the way this kaivalya, Prabhupada says, this kaivalya panta begins from shravana or hearing these topics. Those topics that relate to the personality of Godhead, and the natural consequence of hearing such Harikatha is attainment of transcendental knowledge, which causes detachment from all mundane topics for which a devotee has no taste at all. So how many of you listen to Prabhupada's lectures? One, two, maybe a few of you. Every day? Not every day. So try to listen whenever you have time to Prabhupada's lectures. Because he's pure devotee. So when you hear, it will affect you and it will erase your consciousness. When you drive to work, just listen. And also listen to your Guru Maharaj's lecture. I'm not saying you should. But try to listen to Prabhupada's lectures. You'll see how simple his classes are, but to the point. And he'll cut you every day. Chop. And then you'll see, man, he's so heavy, you know. But then if you listen constantly, you'll find that he is so much compassion for us. That's why he's like that.
that's a simple way to listen to Prabhupada's lectures daily.
Okay, there's a simple way to listen to Prabhupada's lectures daily.
There's a prabhupadavani.org.
Prabhupadavani.org.
You can put your email address. Every day they will send one lecture, either by text.
Oh, okay. That's very nice.
Sometimes if you're not able to hear,
you can read it. Yeah. That's good. Prabhupadavani.
Also, they give quiz.
Quiz after you have you read it or heard it properly.
Yeah.
That's good. So yeah, please do this, and then you will find that you are more Krishna conscious. That means you are connecting to Krishna more often. Your life will change. But don't get frightened.
Every day, first thing in the morning, that's what
happens. Yeah. So on the altar also, when you all do dressing the deity, you should play Prabhupada's lectures.
Yeah, we do.
And then listen instead of talking unnecessarily. Actually, we shouldn't be talking. Because when you talk, your saliva will fall on the deities. So better shut up and do your service. It's a fact. You know, if you don't believe me, you let the sun rays come. And while you see, when you talk, all kinds will come out. All the prashad, you know. Yeah.
You need to communicate also, right? In the dated dressing, there is communication also involved. Give me this, give me that.
You should have everything ready. So why are you doing give me this, give me that?
No service for you.
My job is to run around and give.
No, actually the pujari should set everything ready so that he doesn't inconvenience the deities. Everything should be there within his reach. I mean, that means you should plan it such a way that you have everything, all the jewelry and plates, so it's nearby. So he doesn't have to like run 10 million times, you know. Yeah. Anyway, that's deity worship. I'm not kidding.
So you're saying that you hear proper lectures every day. Just mentioning one another, like don't get frightened.
Because he gets very heavy sometimes and so and then don't get disheartened. Learn, hear more and you'll find, as I said, you'll start appreciating what he's saying. Then you'll start slowly changing yourself from doing some things that you normally shouldn't be doing. Yeah. Then, further down, much further down, Srila Prabhupada said, the first class devotee of the Lord attains this stage of materials, devotional service, but despite his loftiness, for the Lord's satisfaction, he may play the voluntary part of a preacher of the Lord's glory and dovetail all into devotional service, even mundane interests, just to give the neophytes a chance to transform mundane interests into transcendental bliss. Now, it doesn't mean only a pure devotee should do. You also have to set example. Okay? It's very important, you know. This purpose of Srila Prabhupada is so important for a beginner as well as a pure devotee. This is everything is there. We don't need to go anywhere for any information. It's all there. So he's so perfect. He's explaining to us how we should behave. Even if you are not a pure devotee, you still have to set examples, good examples. So if two people are on, let's say we were talking about altar. So if you are on the altar fighting, shouting at each other, and people are outside the curtain coming first time, they'll think, what is happening here? Right? How will they respect devotees? Or ISKCON for that matter? Then they'll go to some other place. So be very conscious. Yes?
Probably, what should be the mood?
The mood you should have is to be happy, to be serving the Lord and His servants. To be in service mood, but be careful not to disturb the Lord. Right? We are going inside the sanctum sanctorum, the inner place. So it's very sanctified place.
So we should not be talking unnecessarily.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No
topics, other services also.
No mundane, you know, Bollywood, Hollywood, all those, no.
But even like we are doing service duty, but you may remember some other service of, you know,
No, no, no. Why you want to talk?
Okay.
The point is, why talk? Right? Reduce the talking. Reduce it. Only when, like, it's something like, oh, Prabhu, help me hold this chadar so I can fix properly something, that's fine. Not like, oh, you know, you're enjoying and then talk about your Anand Mela. The Lord is, hurry up and dress me. Right? Yeah, right? You think the Lord is okay. Maybe they may enjoy and they'll say, oh, they're talking. Hey, Gora, they're talking so nicely.
They're talking.
Yeah. You see, we'll have to hear all this. If the Lord can really talk to you all, you know, that's what they'll say. You know, why you hurry up and dress me? You think carefully, right? How do you like to dress? You like somebody to, you know, poke you with pins and all that? How do you feel? So put your place in the Lord's position and then ask yourself.
Like when Hari was growing up, my son,
you were dressing him, yeah.
And if I did not put a button or something, he would immediately yell.
Yeah.
So in the same way, the Lord will be very angry at us too. At when we don't.
He's a person. I mean, it's not that he's angry. He'll be very disappointed. Yeah. That you're not doing it properly and you're just wasting time. And then you come with a face so long. You're laughing.
The other thing is that, like, somebody, like, Lord is there and we are, other puja is talking to each other and Lord is just standing there. It's just like...
That's my point. Don't do that. Now, you all know that, so don't do it. But don't go and try to instruct those other people. Okay, let Hari Vilas Prabhu or some senior devotees do that. Because then you will end up with the discussion. So just, and if they talk to you unnecessarily, you say, Prabhu, I really need to dress. Like that. And that's why you should play Prabhupada's class. Then you listen to Prabhupada, you can say, wow, that's a nice point Prabhupada's making. You can say like that. In the, you know, that, because the Lord will appreciate what Srila Prabhupada is talking.
Let Prabhupada talk.
Yeah, more than what we talk. Now, if you want to talk about Anand Mela, then when the curtains are open, then you can read. Dear Lord, Sri Sri Radha Nilamada Gonita, this is what we accomplished for this Anand Mela. That's enough. It is difficult. I'm not saying, you know, this is common, and I'm trying to tell you all to have a standard. By having standard, you will follow certain things nicely and you please the devotees as well as the Lord. Yeah. So anyway, continuing, Srila Rupa Goswami has described this action of a pure devotee as Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. So I've been telling this a lot of time. So Srila Prabhupada is now confirming this also. Even mundane activities dovetail with service to the Lord are also calculated to be transcendental approved Kaivalya affairs for the Lord. So, specifically for the Lord, Kaivalya. We'll stop here. You?
No, that's what I'm
doing. Oh. Okay, so he's talking about listening to Krishna. That means the ultimate goal is Krishna up to this text 12. So from text 13 to the end of the chapter, you'll see how Saunaka Rishi is reacting to this, wanting to hear more. Okay.
So in the previous purport, I was holding this question.
Yes. Thank you.
So, people who worship the forefathers go to the planets of forefathers.
Yes.
But if the forefathers are not pious, they will end up in hell and these people also go to hell? Or?
No, generally you are worshipping the forefathers means they are, it's a...
In the...
Yeah.
Not in the hell, in the heavenly realm.
Yes.
Not in spiritual world.
Right, I mean, at least in the culture I grew up in, some of the forefathers are considered as different.
I don't know how they are worshipping.
Yeah, not everybody may make it to the Pitriloka.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pitriloka is also a part of the material world.
Pitriloka is where Yamaraj rules.
Okay.
Yeah. That's his...
It's below the...
It's world country.
his I think that's his like a good place, and then he was also in charge of the lower Hellenist planet. Yeah.
So the Pitras actually go to Yamraj's abode.
Yeah, they live there. Yeah, they live there. It's a special planet where they have opulence and so on. Pitriloka.
And the Pitras are not devotees, therefore they don't go to the Lord's abode.
No, these are people who worship their forefathers, who are pious, who are having some. So they go up to planetary system, material planetary system. Yeah. It's material, it's not spiritual. Yeah.
And the planets of demigods means they are all in the Bhuva Swaha?
Yes.
They
are all within.
Like everybody has a planet, just like in Vaikuntha planets. It's not like every.
No, it's all in the material universe. They have their own planets. Yeah.
So 33.
Some of them in the similar place, some have their own planetary system. Like Lord Shiva has his own separate place. Like.
But in the Swarga, where Indra rules, he has a lot of demigods in this planet.
Yeah.
Not everyone has an individual planet. Only the main ones.
Just like, you know, only the executive officer have their own special office. The rest share.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that.
No, in Microsoft it's different. Everybody has an office.
All small cubicles?
90% of the people.
No, but who don't have? You have?
I have.
And then below you also they have?
Yeah.
But
so
probably he's an executive manager.
No, you know what I'm saying. Yeah.
It's not like that. So, in Microsoft,